And you're very welcome into the second hour of the 9 till noon show. Some of your comments on what we've been talking about so far today. Hi, Greg. Was just listening regarding the student contribution, etc. I'm aware of the 3,000 annual contribution, but I'm confused now about fees. Is this extra needed, paid throughout the course, and how much? Well, I'm not too au fait with this. This is your fees at the start of the term, I believe, and they were 3,000. They were reduced to 2,000 for a big proportion of families, but they're back up to 3,000 again now. Minister Harkin is doing what every other minister is doing, and that is minding her seat for the next election. Did anyone out there see the programme on Friday night and listen to Michael Lowry and Ben Dunn? That programme answered a lot of questions for me. A old boys network is rife in this poor country of ours, says Anne. Again, thank you, but it's a real measure of the seriousness of the situation when doctors, consultants are so vocal. It's evidence-based. Yes, we have been politically and managerially neglected, believes that one listener. Good morning, Greg. I heard you mention maybe talking or taking to the streets over Surgical Hub. Never done so before, but certainly on board for this one. Fair play to our doctors for standing up for the people of Donegal and the hospital. I think if it has to happen, it will get tremendous support. And why might it? Well, firstly, we've talked extensively about it, so people, I think, understand that whilst maybe matters of health or Surgical Hubs or the hospital doesn't affect you now, if you're in good health, fantastic. But, you know, this is about supporting the staff and the workers down there to build a hospital that's resilient and, you know, there for the future, all services and maybe more, and to bring services to the people of Donegal that perhaps maybe we've had to travel for before. Also, there is political unity in relation to this at this point, as far as I can see. Both the likes of Charlie McConnell and Pat the Cope Gallagher, they said they're very committed to a Surgical Hub for Letterkenny. The two Sinn Féin reps, Charles Ward, 100% redress, Senator Eileen Flynn, Manus Boyle, etc., all seem to be on the one hymn sheet. So, in other words, sometimes if one political party organises something, members of other parties don't necessarily want to take part in it, and I understand that fully. But if this is called, it will be called by the medical professionals, so it's apolitical, and there's cross-party support for it as well. So if it does happen, perhaps that's just the way it might be. Hi, Greg. Rathmullen, what a beautiful buzzing place, but toilets a mess, bins absolutely filled to capacity and beyond. Could you get a reply from DCC on the situation? It's an age-old one. We certainly might try. Why does Greg shy away from having an opinion? There's two sides to the argument, is Holt Hatt. Where Gaza is concerned, there is a right and a wrong, and genocide is wrong. Kneecap are expressing the truth. Maybe Greg can't handle the truth. Maybe you can't listen or didn't hear, sorry. I'm saying that I'm watching a music festival and, you know, I'm not really sure how I feel. That's why I phrased it the way I did. But flags of different countries and political messages, I just want to see people singing songs. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I would have grown up to listening to music where there was a lot of politics in it. Different types of music. There's always been politics in music. It's just very much now in your face that you know. I've not said anything negative about Kneecap. I've not said anything positive about Israel, if the truth be told. So I don't know really where you're coming from or what your angle is on that text, but I understand it, I respect it, and I read it out. We need to talk about the impact of the fees on young people. They understand how much pressure that their parents are under, and they know that they might not be able to go to college. Not all families can afford college. I wonder, you know, it's an interesting question because, you know, young people are very switched on. I wonder, are young people saying, God, you know, if I go down here, this is going to put wild pressure on mum and dad. I might let on that I don't really want to go to third level. I mean, I suppose it is bound to be happening. They think they're doing the right thing to save mum and dad, or mum or dad. I think it'd probably be even more complicated in a single income, single parent household. Maybe they are sacrificing their education because mum or dad's under pressure. Greg, you're absolutely right. People don't like Donegal because we're doing well and because Jim speaks up. Let's keep the momentum going. However, I have some concern that if we play the first half like we did against Louth and Monaghan, our luck will run out. We need to start like the second half against Monaghan or Meath. We'll make the final over Donegal. It's interesting because that's one of the questions I wanted to put to Brendan Devaney. It's fantastic when you can switch it on in the second half, but what happens if we have a poor first half and a team decides to keep the ball from us, or I don't know, you know, some tactical way to shut the game down for the second half? Now, maybe Donegal are that good, that quick, that we could turn the ball over and do what we've done in the last couple of games. But there comes a point where you can't keep relying on massive second half performances. So Brendan, as a former player, of course, and manager of GEA teams, it'll be interesting to get his insight. What did Jim McGuinness say at halftime, and how did it have such an impact? And I suppose, you know, the players know what's what. So what was going on in the first half, etc. Did anyone watch Glastonbury at the weekend? Chants calling for the death to the IDF or anyone should never be tolerated, especially at a music festival. Artists who engaged in this behaviour should be banned from playing live at festivals. I tuned in for light relief, not to listen or watch such propaganda. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in the same space, whereas I watched it just to, you know, I would be the type that if I want to... The politics doesn't have to be the politics I agree with or disagree with. It doesn't mean I like to see it there because I agree with it, or I don't want to see it there because I disagree with it. It's just sometimes is there a space whereby you can just watch something and the flags are about fun stuff. But anyway, I'm not too bothered either. I work in the hospital and I think the people of Donegal are ready for the street protests. And if the doctors decide that route, the day services is two theatres and they're constantly not used because the overflow of patients from ED using their beds. That's from someone within the hospital. One quick mention, Letterkenny Memories will be held in the Station House Hotel, Letterkenny. It's this evening at 8 p.m. Everybody is welcome, by the way, to that event. Right, so what's coming up? We have in the last hour, Brendan Devaney talking sport, of course, GEA, but we also have Senator and Councillor Blaney, the two Blaneys, because the Blaney family, their life in politics is celebrating 100 years. It's a remarkable amount of time for one family to be serving the people of a county. Now, not everyone's going to agree politically with everyone all of the time, but I think most people can respect that that takes a lot. So Senator Niall Blaney and Councillor Liam Blaney are going to be in studio to reflect on those 100 years and the people who went before them. And Donegal County Council is also marking the occasion on Friday with a civil reception. Is it a civic reception, Caroline? Civil reception. Civic reception, okay, just to mark the centenary. It's a milestone. If you have any comments in relation to that, 086 60 25,000, and we want your views on the football as well. And we've got so much in between now and then. Now, a Fine Gael TD is urging the Children's Minister to fast-track plans to cap children childcare fees, I should say, at €200 a month, as new figures show parents across the country are paying, on average, €190 a week. The medium fees in Donegal are €175.50. Deputy Corey joins me on the programme now. Good morning to you, Emer. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners.
Yeah, we were talking about the costs of this, that and thon. You know, we've learnt this about the cost of living measure for third level. You know, if you've got a teenager in the house and a younger one, you'll feel like you're getting tapped every single which way. But we're focusing on childcare fees. So what do the figures show us, more broadly speaking?
So the figures are showing us that the average is 190 per week for childcare, and I got these figures through the department by asking relevant parliamentary questions. And you're right, in Donegal it's 175. It's at its lowest in Leitrim at 150 per week, and it goes up to €260 per week in Dunleary and Rathdown. In my own constituency, the average per week is about 230. And I think what this shows us, Greg, is the disparities across the country when it comes to fees. And we know that the programme for government commitment is to bring childcare per month to €200. And I get a lot of questions from constituents about how this is going to work for a roadmap, just to understand, because as you say, there are pressures on families, and I think people want to plan and understand for the future. So in the programme for government, it has committed to an action plan to do just this. And I suspose as Fine Gael spokesperson for childcare, I'm keen to keep the pressure on there and to make sure that the action plan is delivered sooner rather than later.
Minister Foley said she's working on it. But how does, you know, what needs to be done to make this possible? Because we're you know, talking about effectively cutting costs by a quarter on average, that's going to take a great deal of staff, investment, etc. So what might this action plan look like?
You're right in that it's going to take a lot of consultation and engagement with the sector itself. I think we have established that partnership is possible through the establishment of core funding, and therefore core funding, even though it's not a perfect model, and I'd be the first to point out where it needs to improve, but it does set out how the sector can work together and address the issues that are there. So for instance, this year, the core funding will be increased. But as part of that, there have been commitments to make it more transparent around fees and to work towards the introduction of a common fee structure. And we've already seen that fees have been frozen since September 2021. So there is work taking place, and it is about building on that.
30,000 new public childcare places are expected to be created, or would need to be created as part of this plan. I don't know how many staff that sort of equates to, but I mean, is that doable? Are the people there? Is the money there to pay them?
So what you're talking about is the commitment in the programme for government to step into state-led facilities, which I am very excited about and have been pushing for. And that as well is to address capacity. So we can see how obviously fees differentiate across the country, but also so does supply and demand. And so the work that's happening within the department at the moment is a forward planning unit is being established out of a supply management unit that was already set up to look at the areas that may require investment. And the government is working on a plan in relation to state-led facilities. I have my own views on how I believe they should do that, because there are planning guidelines that exist that aren't working as effectively as they should, that look at the supply of new housing and then the supply of childcare places with that. So that is one part of it, I believe. But also we need to be looking at other ways of increasing capacity, looking at, say, school buildings, empty creches, places where childcare facilities can be built.
Okay, now you're in an advantageous position, because much of what we're talking about now could be coming from an opposition party, but you are a Fine Gael TD, you are within, and you've got access, I presume, to Minister Foley. So you say things should move quicker. How quickly are things going to move then?
So what I am suggesting is that I know from dealing with parents in my constituency that it really is about the roadmap. The minister has said that the reduction to €200 per month will happen over the course of this government. And I think the action plan does need to be prioritised, because as we are covering here today, there are challenges for parents in relation to affordability and accessibility. So I believe that should be prioritised, and really even the outline of how the roadmap to €200 could be achieved would be helpful.
All right, thank you so much for your time. That's Emma Curry, Fine Gael TD and spokesperson for children. So the average weekly childcare bill, €175.50. Now, we have the low lowest disposable income and some of the lowest incomes in the country. So, you know, the gap between what, say, for instance, and you know, maybe it's you know, parents and the children, parents and the children. So, you know, the choice is one of the parents would stay at home, look after the children, or we pay the €175 childcare. And then what is the gap between what your income is and the €175? You know, how much would you be working for? And it's important to get out of the house, of course, and do your bit. But €175.50 a week is it's a lot of money. And that's at the lower end, believe it or not. But we have a Fine Gael TD calling on another Fine Gael TD or a Fine Gael government, Fianna Fáil government, to quicken things up there. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 0749 125,000. By the way, if you are playing Radio Bingo, they weren't included in the last break. They will be included in the next. My apologies. They'll be going out shortly. Greg, the local Oireachtas members had to know about Sligo getting the surgical hub. It was in the programme for government. Well, it was for the Northwest in the programme for government. So they were of the view, right, it's in the programme for government. Marion Harkin said Sligo was in the programme for government, but there's different information, so that's not the case. And then, of course, the business plan, the HSC spending plan, Sligo is the location within it. So I think there's a couple of things have got convoluted there, and I can understand, personally speaking, why local Oireachtas members wouldn't have known that Sligo was part of that deal. What is more important, music and entertainment or genocide? Is stopping babies' heads being blown up? The IDF are terrorists, aren't they? Anyone who yams about the reality of what's happening in the name of fake democracy and murderous ideology should get a life, says that listener there. Greg, I'm so disappointed in Minister Marion Harkin. As a woman, I thought she had integrity, but will never give her a vote again. Well done for you. Well done to you for uncovering this. Well, I mean, if you live in Sligo and Leitrim, her integrity has gone through the roof, because she's going to ensure that you get a surgical hub. So, and that's where most of her votes come from. Right, okay. Let's go to Connell now. Hi, Connell.
Good morning, Greg.
You're talking about care needs in the residential and home care setting. You think that we need a new way. So what has led you to arrive at this point of view?
Well, the ESRI report out this morning states that our over 85 population will double in the next 15 years, and that's not long. And our over 65 population is going to go up by 60%, and we need long-term nursing care from 30,000 to over 50,000 beds, and we need home helps from 30 to 50,000 as well hours. So, well, doubling the amount of hours at home. So what I'm saying is that I feel that we need to look at a new model. I mean, a number of years ago I was at the McGill Summer School, and a very prominent doctor, surgeon, lecturer said that care of senior citizens or elderly was about physical care, having people there. It wasn't always about medical care. It's just to look after the person for their needs in a home environment, but not necessarily medical. And I think the Donegal County Council, I think, should set up a task force, because, and the HSE, to look at how we could deal with elderly care, some elderly care, at a localised level. I mean, I visited, got a tour of the Shield Hospital there recently, and the rooms there are fantastic. And if you had rooms, maybe 8 or 10 rooms like that at a parish setting, and some staff, and also the people's own relations are so close to it that there's a combination of things. Not all people could be looked after that environment, but certainly for the future, if numbers are going to grow like that, then we have to look at a new model, you know.
Yeah, because just to recap some of the figures that you mentioned there, analysis by the ESRI said that long-term residential care beds and home support hours provided to the older population will need to increase by at least 60% by 2040, which is just around the corner. By then, 21% of our population will be aged 65 or older, and the population aged 85 and over will have more than doubled. And we already really, other than sort of hiring in from outside the country, we're already struggling to find staff to meet the needs that we have, and also to find funding. Because, you know, the HSE budget in this area, Donegal, ran out quite some time ago, and there's, you know, no additional home care packages, no additional home care hours. So we're already at a major disadvantage.
Yeah, well, I mean, the average in a state-run nursing home now, or one of the smaller hospitals, is about $1,650 a week, and that is only going to go one way increase, and they still haven't the numbers. The private nursing home care is cheaper, but even that, you will still need these places, but it's never going to cope with the future. I mean, I was involved in St. Shannon Centre in Ardra, an independent living centre that was opened in 2009, but it took us about 10 years to get it done. But a new model now is required at a parish level, say that you have something like a large bungalow with rooms in it, like the Shield Hospital, and sitting rooms and that in it, and have a strong local community involvement. Like the GA or like the co-op, just have a community buy-in, because I think there's no alternative to a community buy-in with a growing elderly population. And I remember, I mean, 60 years ago, elderly people were cared for in their own homes when there was help there, but they had very primitive homes, no internal plumbing or anything, but they cared for them because there was help there. And that's what it's about. And if you have a local situation in a local parish, well, people are always in and out, and you'll get a strong voluntary. And that voluntary ethos is still very prominent. That voluntary thing is there, that people will be in and out, and their own friends can come in. And then you have a staff there that if somebody is looking for someone or calling on someone, they're there in maybe 2 minutes, you know.
My concern is that we can look at where we're at now, and I would have great concern as to how we as a state treat our older people, be it in terms of health, acute health care or home care or whatever it might be, and also to just in this, there's a million different things whereby we're moving on and neglecting our older people, even in terms of technology or whatever it might be. It's great if we live longer, Conal. I mean, we'd love more of us are living longer, and we will, but also it has to be a quality of life there as well. You know, we don't want a subset of the population, 20% of the population that are existing. You know, we have to make sure whatever we put in accounts for people living their lives.
Yeah, I think there's a strong thing at a parish level if people are elderly and maybe incapacitated. They're in touch with the local situation all the time. Maybe they can go out to Mass on a Sunday and meet their friends, you know. And, you know, within distance of the church and the shops and that. And all this whole mental thing, I think we're tending to neglect that a bit. That if we sort of feel that we have high quality nursing homes and people are away, you know, 40, 50 miles from their own home, and you don't want to go out that door, they're sort of not coming back again. That's a huge change for somebody to make at that age, because they have to make new friends and everything. Whereas the friends that had a lifetime in their own parish, they're always going to be there, and they're going to visit them because it's easy to visit them. People are, for instance, going to Mass on a Sunday, and you have a centre beside the church. People are, you know, people that feel that that's part of their, you know, religion as well, maybe to visit. But it all adds up to an inclusive situation of physical and mental care that can be dealt with at a localised level. Not all people will be able to be cared for that. You will still have to have nursing homes. You still have to
And then there'll be people who choose to live in their own homes independently as well. It's about having options.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that. I mean, I've been on your programme several times about having a fair deal scheme for home care, like, and houses are good, and a different type of fair deal scheme suited to the needs of different people. Mm. It's a combination of things. But I think I'm glad to give the opportunity to talk about it in your programme, but I think Donegal County Council and the HSE, well, particularly the council, should establish a task force, because I think councillors are in touch with the local people. They should establish a task force to plan for what the ESRI has come out with today, because there are other statistics that come out, but they're not. We don't know what's going to happen.
What we do know, though, is like we've got the predictions of in 2040 of the age of our population. The bottom line is we're in a situation at the moment where lots of people are not having any babies, and those that are having one, maybe two, but the big families seem to be almost a thing of the past now. We're losing quite a large chunk of our young population to Australia, America, etc. They may not return. Like, I'm concerned beyond 2040, we are actually going to struggle to have people of an age to care and support the greater number of older people that require that care and support. Like, that is where we're heading. And I can't see anything. I can't see anything really in trends that's going to stem that.
Yeah, well, we will depend on We will depend on people coming from other countries to work, you know, and that will be the reality. I won't be around at that time. I'm talking to you as a person who's 75 myself, you know. But that's another day's work that people will have to be down the road. But for the moment, for the next 10 years, how do we address this issue and plan for 2040, which is only down the road? As I say, when we started the sheltered housing project in Ardra, it was 1998. We opened it in 2009. It took us almost 11 years to get it done. And that's the type of scale you're talking about. But if it takes 5 years to do things, but I think Donegal County Council should establish a task force about the ESRI report this morning as to where we're going with our elderly population and the increase, because Donegal have a bigger increase than any other county. Mm-hmm. And the HSE in combination with that. And it's no longer, and the community, it's no longer a case of each person and each government department in their own sort of box saying, we do this, we do this, we do this. It's a combination of things, cooperation all the time, and look at a solution that best suits our elderly population at a localised level. Can we care for more of them in their own home? Can we care for any more of them in a sort of a centralised bungalow, maybe with about 8 or 10 rooms? We have a small staff there that's available 24 hours a day, and the input of the community, right, and the local people as well.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Colin. I know it's something you're passionate about. It's not the first time we've spoken about it. It may not be the last either. Read the Hob promises that Donegal being manipulated by our 100-year-plus Fianna Fáil Fine Gael government with power-hungry politicians. No surgeries. Sorry, no surprises there. Bit of a Freudian slip. All government TDs should resign their seats, but they don't, over defective concrete, so no change there either. And again, we talked about that towards the end of last week. Resigning your seats, what does that actually achieve? You know, as I say, there is an argument there that I listened to that you can battle from within, you certainly couldn't from without. Pat the Cope Gallagher has committed to seeking clarity from the Taoiseach and his office over the deal that was done, it seems, to have Sligo as the location for the surgical hub, though Marion Harkin is saying, I'm only making sure that what was in the HSE plan is put in place for my constituents, right? But we'll hear what, if anything, Pat the Cope Gallagher gets back from Micheál Martin on that. But if he were not in the party, he certainly would get very little, so we shall see. What time will we know what day Donegal is playing in the semi-final? The CCCCCCCCCC normally meet about lunchtime. We'll bring it to you just as soon as we get it. Don't worry about it. It's amazing how quick we forget that these elderly people are the very people who made and sculpted us into who we are today, yet we treat them as a burden on society. And that's it. You know, that's what I was alluding to with our last guest there. You know, what are we inclined to spend now to make sure our older people are better looked after when life seems to be moving and leaving many elderly people behind? A caller says, today's elderly are not what 50 years ago was. Many at the age of 80 and 90 are still very active. They just need better supports to stay at home, of course, but many are, 80, 90. Anyway, I'll come back to that. No, you're right, but there's also a greater number of people who are living to those ages now, and some with health issues. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by Junior Minister at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Michael Healy-Ray. He's part of a group of independents who are putting pressure on coalition parties to abolish means tests for carers. This was a big topic in the lead up to the election, Michael, and you're keeping the pressure on, I suppose you'd argue.
Well, good morning, Greg, and to all your listeners. And what is happening at the moment, as you know, we're in a very tentative stage in government because the budgetary priorities are being lined up, and taking care of all the people in their own homes is a matter of utmost importance, because these people are saving the state billions of euros every year, because you know that an acute bed is costing anything up to €8,500 per week. And the analogy that I use all the time is, if a person was at home and if they weren't having some kind person taking care of them, and say for instance they were trying to do something they shouldn't be doing, and if they fell and broke their hip, well, that bed would cost €8,500 a week approximately. So imagine the savings in direct and indirect ways that people who take care of somebody they're actually doing a great service for the state. They're kind people, but at the moment they're facing, first of all, a long wait in having their application processed, and then we have the means test. Now, the government recognises this problem, and as part of keeping the promises, because everything gets said during an election, and we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll do the other thing and we'll do the devil. But it's about keeping your commitments then after. So I'm glad that on Thursday this week, the disregard for carers allowance will rise, and it's going to €625 for single carers. This is up from €450. And 1,250 for carers with a spouse or a partner, up from €900. So incrementally, this is going to improve. But if we don't keep pressure on now, Greg, I don't want to see this matter being forgotten about. And I'm not saying that it would be, but just as independents that are part of this government and that are supporting the government and what they're trying to do. And yes, Greg, there are so many competing issues. You have the hospitality sector, you have housing, you have all the other very important matters. But at the same time, we can't forget the carers, because
so are you looking for the government? Yes, they are, and we've a very high rate of carers in this part of the world, of course. So are you looking for the government then to commit a time frame, I suppose, for means testing for carers to be eliminated? I mean, as you've mentioned, you're in a great position of influence or persuasion, one would hope. So is that what you're expecting in the next budget or before?
Well, you see, the government have already committed to this, because we're all signed up to supporting the programme for government. And the programme for government is very, very clear. It recognises the work that is being done, and it clearly states that this situation is going to incrementally improve. But again, it's about keeping pressure on, because if we don't talk up at this critical time, these days, these weeks, pre-budget, it is so important. And I just want to give you an example of things that I don't agree with. And this might be a small little bit controversial, but I just want to lay this out to you, because it is important. Because at the end of the day, it's not the government's money, Greg. It's your money. It's the people that are listening to this programme today. It's their money runs the country. And you saw there in the last number of days, Minister James Brown pulled a contract for 500 houses for their construction. Now, people might say, well, why in the name of God, at a time, you know, when housing is so important, why would the minister pull that funding? And why would he go against that? Well, I have to be honest and say I agree with him. And I'll tell you why. Because the costing was €1 million per unit. In other words, €1 million per house. Now, with the greatest of respect, no matter how urgent people's housing needs are, people that are waiting for a house today and desperately need it, they wouldn't actually agree, oh, well, that house should cost €1 million, because that's wasteful. There's something wrong there. And that is why government have pulled that, and they're resetting and saying, right, we have to look at this again, because that's not being good for the taxpayers. Because at the end of the day, it is your money, and we have to be prudent and careful with it and get the best value we can for it and not waste it. Now, if the minister was very, you know, easygoing or neglectful in his duties, he could say, all right, or let that off and let it cost €1 million per unit. But then he'd be criticised afterwards, because people would say, my God, how's a local authority house cost €1 million?
Yeah, of course, I get where you're coming from, and we've seen that in this county as well, where the councillors walked out of deals because the developer has tried to bump up the price, and they've said, no, this is our final offer, that's all we're paying, and then they've walked away from that. But we can't keep doing that either. Where are the developers and the contractors that will build these houses at an affordable rate? You know, they can invest their money in Northern Ireland, where, you know, the planning system is much more streamlined. Maybe they might get more bang for their buck, who's to say? But, you know, at one stage, we're much to the cost of the taxpayer and potential with rents, we're trying to incentivize international money to alleviate the housing crisis. It won't help you in Kerry or me in Donegal, but anyway, it will in Dublin and Cork and Limerick, perhaps. And then at the other side, when we're pulling out of deals that might deliver affordable housing, do you get where I'm coming from? The system seems to be getting more messy and convoluted than more streamlined.
It does, and everything you've said, you're 100% correct. But the Taoiseach has been very clear about this, and I know there are people in opposition and who jump up and down and say, oh, we shouldn't actually be relying on any, what I would call, private funding for providing housing. But that's not going to work. The state is not going to be able to solve the housing crisis on their own, and the Taoiseach recognises this. Everybody in government recognises this. The only people I hear saying that it shouldn't happen is opposition, but it's very easy to say that. But you need private money as well. And we have to make that sensible as well, because if they see that it's not sensible for them to invest money into housing, they won't do so, and the crisis will only get worse and worse. And if you look at in your area was very, very hit with what I would call the Pyrite scandal. And I, even though you might say Donegal was very far away from me, the people that were directly involved, they know that I listened to their stories at that time, and I very much took it on board. I was in opposition at the time, but I highlighted it, I spoke in the Dáil on it, and I was saying these people need assistance, they need support. And I am glad that an awful lot of progress was made in regard to that, and I really am so grateful to the people, the organisers, the people who came to Dublin, who protested, who were so strong in advocating for those very, very nice people. And I just want to remember them today, because they were so nice, and I was so taken with their stories, and to see their beautiful homes crumbling underneath them every day, it was an awful thing to happen, those very, very nice people.
Okay, well, indeed, we still have a way to go in that. Can I just ask you one question? And I don't want to in any way, I'm not trying to ambush you, because the answer is I just simply don't know. But we were speaking to Minister Marion Harkin on Friday, and she says part of the deal to support the government was the follow through and a commitment from the HSC to locate a surgical hub in Sligo. I don't expect you to be across anything. I'm just asking on the off chance, and I might have mentioned this beforehand if you could have checked it out. Are you familiar with that story at all, or that forming a plank of the part of the agreement to support government?
Yes, I am. And what I can tell you about Minister Harkin's work and her involvement in this issue, she has been what I would call ferocious in her work ethic in highlighting this issue and trying to do what is right. And she has been an awful strong advocate about this issue. And I know, because I hear it going on, I'm not directly involved in that myself, but she is, and she's doing what I would call ferocious work, and is using her position in supporting government at trying to highlight this and trying to get it prioritised. Mm. And I commend her for her work on that, because she is very strong on it, and she is working diligently in trying to help her constituents with regard to this and many, many other issues.
Could some people, if they want to, and I know people don't like the word, frame it as a goodie? In other words, that this was, this was one of those potential red lines for the region to secure that support for the government. I don't like that word, but it's the word that's being
you can call it what you like, but what I call it is people doing their work. And Minister Harkin, when she would have been approaching her issues as that she wanted highlighted and what I would call red line issues, everybody has those. And people talk about parochial issues and that, oh, it should be about the bigger picture. But at the end of the day, all politics is local. And if you don't take care of people in your locality, and if you're not an advocate for them, they're the people who go out and support you at the end of the day. And people have a choice when they go out to vote. They see who's working. They see who's delivering. And in the case of Marion Harkin, she is what I would call good value for money, because I actually sit alongside her every day, and her work ethic is second to none. And she, of course, would have been fighting and advocating for the priorities that were important to her, as we all would have been as individuals. And there is nothing wrong with that. And you can call them special concerns, you can call them what you like, but at the end of the day, all we're all trying to do is what's the best for people. And the way I word it down here in Kerry is, and I'm sure your politicians in Donegal would think the same thing, or I hope they do anyway. I know Ms. Harkin bark and wood anyway, and that is we are servants of the people. We're there to work for people. We're there to do our best at all times, whether it's with regard to this, because, for example, the carers issue. I know that Marion Harkin has been very, very strong on this issue, and that is why it's in the programme for government, and there is a commitment by government to incrementally improve the situation for carers. And to people in Donegal today and throughout the rest of the country who are providing care, government recognises that, yes, you are saving the state billions of euros. You actually can't quantify it, and will I tell you why you can't quantify it?
Mm-hmm.
If we can't treat older people with dignity and respect, and if we can't take care of them, well, then we're an extremely poor society, because these are our lovely people who brought us into the world. They could be our parents or our grandparents or our aunties or uncles or friends up or down the road. And we have to be, it's our duty to be nice and caring of those people and calling into a person's home or being there with them to support them and keep them out of hospital. Because, yes, when something acute happens to you and when you need medical care, yeah, you need medical care. But an awful lot of people, they don't have to be in a nursing home. They don't have to be in a district hospital or in an acute hospital if you can stop them having an accident or an incident. Of course, when people get sick and they're getting tired and burnt out, well, they need the specialist services of doctors and nurses.
Yes.
But an awful lot of the time, they need people to come in and take care of it. Could be, you know, working in conjunction with community nurses, mm-hmm, changing dressings and making sure that people have their medicine and then taken to the doctors. And, you know, the simple things that people, mm-hmm, need done for them, that as they get older and they can't drive and they can't, you know, they, yep, can't do the household things that need to be done, and watch out for them.
Yeah, indeed, and Michael, listen, and of course,
invaluable.
The SRI showed us this morning that we're probably going to be relying even more on carers as the population ages. Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it. Junior Minister Michael Healy-Wray, Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, a lot in there, particularly confirmation of that news we carried for you on Friday. If there was any doubt or confusion, I think that's fully clarified now. In relation to the carer's allowance, Aquila says, if there were no means test for carer's allowance, it means that somebody earning $500,000 a year will be entitled to carer's allowance. There should be a cut-off point of what you're allowed to receive if you're a higher earner. I think that's fair. I think that's reasonable. I'm not sure if you can do things like that, but I do think, you know, there's no point handing money to people that don't need it. For those with higher dependency or complex medical needs, these facilities should provide comprehensive medical and personal care as well as social and recreational activities. Very often they're just a ticking box and provide the minimum of care. It's no wonder the elderly are afraid of ending up in there, and you hear cases of people being put to bed at, you know, silly hours or silly o'clock, and that's no way to treat our older people. Don't worry about our seniors. The government will introduce euthanasia like they've done in England. Irish governments always follow England's laws. I'm not sure the uptake would be at the point where it sort of really affect the overall increase in our older population, but I understand where you're coming from. A caller says, I'm a rapid response vehicle driver and a mad keen Donegal supporter. There's going to be a problem for Tyrone or Donegal. The Kerry Tyrone game is going to be moved to the Sunday because it's more high profile, with Donegal versus Meath being played on Saturday the 12th of July. Now that is him or her supposing. Driving through the north on the 12th of July will be tricky and a nightmare for those travelling. The GEA needs to seriously look at the chaos that will be caused on the roads. Okay, it's an interesting insight. We don't know the dates for the games yet, Caroline, do we? No, it hasn't been announced. That's just the listener presuming it's okay. Yep, thank you. It's amazing how quick we forget that those elderly people are the very people who made and sculpted us into who we are today. Indeed, I read that earlier. Today's elderly are not like they were 50 years ago. I read that one too. My apologies. I'll put that back in the unread pile. A caller says, as a hemochromatosis patient, an urgent need for blood at the banks, and now there are in Donegal this week. It's a great chance to give blood. This can be done 3 times a year instead of doing it to LUH or your doctor where the blood is dumped. I'm not sure that's okay, right, I understand. This is where you remove your blood, isn't it, to address the iron levels. Okay, I get you. Yep, indeed, there's a nationwide blood shortage. We never know when we might need it. If you're on the list, or maybe you're a hemochromatosis patient, maybe now is the time to offload the blood that maybe you don't need and help others in the process. Dr. Sugru said health is more important than politics. Now it's been shown politics is more important than people. That's one person's point of view. Right, Brendan Devaney will be joining us. Senator Niall Blaney and Councillor Liam Blaney will be joining us to mark 100 years of Blaney's in politics. That and so much more besides after we take a break.